Today's daf is Chulin Daf Tzadik Beis, and we are two lines from the top of Daf Tzadik Beis on Aleph, moving along in the Divrei Agada related to the Gid Hanosha. So as we've mentioned several times and saw yesterday in great detail, the third mitzvah in the Torah, the Loisase, Shaloi Lechel Gid Hanosha, comes from a context that's mentioned in Parshas Vayishlach. Yaakov Avinu and his family, they're on their way towards Esav. Yaakov realizes that he left something behind. He crosses a river on his own, Vayivasa Yaakov Levadoi, and when he was in a state of Levadoi, a Talmud Chacham, he was vulnerable. The Pasuk says that a Malach came and began fighting with Yaakov Avinu. The Malach thought that he would easily defeat Yaakov Avinu, but when he saw he couldn't, so at the very least, he wanted to accomplish something. Vayiga b'kaf yerecha, he hit him in his thigh. Vateika kaf yerech Yaakov, behe'ofkoi imoi. Vayomer shalcheini, he ends up giving Yaakov a bracha, he changes Yaakov's name, and the Torah says that because of what happened, because of this seeming miracle that took place, that the Malach was not able to defeat Yaakov Avinu, al kein lo yoichu b'nei Yisrael eskid anosher asher al kaf ha-yorech ad ha-yoyim hazeh, ki noga b'kaf yerech Yaakov b'gid anosher. And the Isra, as we mentioned, is not to eat the yerech. The Isra is to mention the gid hanosher, the gid that slipped within the yerech. So when the Malach was vateka kaf yerech Yaakov, he caused one of the gidin, the sciatic nerve, to slip out of place, and the Isra is related to the Gid Hanosha, the Gid that slipped. Regardless, another Amid Gemara that's going to relate somewhat to the idea of Gid Hanosha with a little bit of digression. Either way, says the Gemara. The Pasuk says in Eshea Perek Yud Beis, Vayosar el Malach, Vayuchal, Bocho, Vayishani loy Beisel, Yimtzoenu, Vesham Yedaber Imonu. So this is a Pasuk mentioned in the 12th Perek of Sefer Hoshea. Says the Gemara that this Pasuk is clearly referring to the struggle, this battle between Yaakov and Sarish Olesav. And when it says, Vayosar el Malach, that he was able to overcome, Eni Yedem Minasa Sar Lami. So Vayosar is Miloshin Sar. The question is, who became a Sar to? Was Yaakov a Sar to the Malach, or was the Malach a Sar to Yaakov? When the Pasuk says, Ki Sarisa im Elikin, when the Malach tells Yaakov, Ki Sarisa im Elikin, Hava Oime Yaakov, Nasa Sar lo Malach, then when it says, Vayasar el Malach, it doesn't mean that the Malach was the Sar, but it means that Yaakov was the one that was the Sar. Meaning Yaakov was able to triumph over the Malach, even though Yaakov got hurt. But big picture, Yaakov actually walked away triumphant. Then the Pasuk talks about someone crying and begging. When the Pasuk says that the Malach asked Yaakov to please let me go, it seems like it's the Malach who's pleading with Yaakov and he asks him to please let me get out. So the Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu was able to be a sar on top of Elikim and on top of Nosh. Oh my Rabbi, Rabbi said, Remez Romazle. This was a Remez to Yaakov Avinu, Shasidim Shnei Sorim, Otsis Mimenu. That there were going to be two Sorim that were going to emerge from Yaakov Avinu. And who were they? They were the Reish Goyla. That's the Reish Galusa. These were the leaders of Klal Yisrael and Bavel. Vinasi Shabaret Yisrael and the Nasiyim of Eretz Yisrael. And if that's the case, Mikan Remez Legolas, that in this parsha of the Yiga b'kaf yerechoi, vateka kaf yerech Yaakov, there's a remez to the Gauls. Where do you see Gauls in this parasha? Because if ki sarisa im melikim v'manoshim is a reference to both the Nesiim in Bavel and the Rosh Goyl in Bavel and the Nesiim in Eretz Yisrael, what are the Yidden doing in Bavel? Why is there a Rosh Galus in Bavel? Oh, must be there's going to be a Gauls. When did the Yidden go to Bavel? That was Gauls Bavel. That was because they weren't able to all live in Eretz Yisrael at that time. In a perfect world, we're all living in Eretz Yisrael. The fact that there's a Rosh Goyl in Bavel, that in and of itself is a sign of Gauls. Where do you see him? Elikim and Anoshim, the Nesiim of Eretz Yisrael and the Reish Galus of Bavel. So Elikim usually means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But sometimes Adhu Elohim Yovei Dvar Shneim. Elohim can also mean Bezdin. So the Bezdin of Eretz Yisrael was always referred to as Elohim. That's Beloshin Chayil. And the reason is because they had Smicha. And Elohim is Dayanim Musmachim, as opposed to the Reish Galus and Bavel who did not have Smicha, so they're merely referred to as Anoshim. Bottom line is, Ki Sarisam Elohim, that's the Nesiim in Eretz Yisrael, Vim Anoshim, that's the Reish Galus and Bavel. In this Pasuk, there's a remez to the Golas. The Pasuk says, Upagethen Shloisha Sarisim. So the Gemara is going to digress, and the Gemara is going to discuss another pasuk in where there's remuzim to different sarim and different things that the Yidden are going to have. And this is a rather well-known pasuk, a pasuk in the Parshas Vayeshev, the end of Parshas Vayeshev. Yosef Atzadik was thrown into jail. He was thrown into jail because of a bilbul. This was a libel. He was alleged to have attempted to do an Aveiro with Eshes Paitifar. Of course it wasn't true. So he's thrown into the Beis HaSayer, and there were two other ministers of Pari that were there at the time, the Sarah Oifin and the Sarah Mashkim. The Pasuk says they both had a dream. The Sarah Oifin had a dream, and he comes, he tells Yosef his dream. The Sarah Mashkim has a dream, he tells Yosef his dream. Yosef interprets the two respective dreams, and of course, the rest is history. Either way, the Sarah Mashkin, when he tells Yosef his dream, he tells him as follows. And he tells him, in my dream, I saw Geffen. I saw a vineyard. And on, in this vineyard, on one of these grapevines, there were three branches. The branches, these sarigim, were blossoming. Also, its fruit started coming forth. And then quickly clusters of grapes develop, and then they even ripen. So it seems to be moving really, really fast. He witnesses this vine, there's branches that are growing, fruit start coming out, and then they're fully ripened. And then he continued, he said that I'm holding the kais of Pari, that this was his job, he's the Sarah Mashkim. And I took these grapes that grew so quickly, I squeezed them into schita, into the cup of Pari, and I handed the kais to Pari. So Yosef turns to the Sarah Mashkim and he tells him, I have good news. The three branches that you saw, these are 3 days. But in 3 days, Pari is going to take you out of jail and you're going to go back and he's going to restore you to your post. And then Yosef throws in one line to the Sarah Mashkim and he tells him, I'm just asking you that in 3 days when you're let free, I want you to repay the favor. I just did you a taiva. I just gave you a besura taiva. When you're out and you're free, please tell Pari about me. So in case, you know, there's ever a rainy day in Egypt where maybe there'll be a use for the koyach that I have to interpret dreams, and of course the rest is history. Right, exactly. And that's what happened. But either way, the Gemara now is going to darshan different pshatim, different interpretations to the dream of the Sarah Mashkim, which at first glance is interesting, because there seemed to have been the interpretation of the Sarah Mashkin's dream. The interpretation was exactly what Yosef told him, stating that Chazal somehow knew that in this dream there were other interpretations as well, and the Gemara is going to darshan now in great detail, almost the whole Amud Gemara, of drushas related to what exactly the Sarah Mashkin dreamt. Now, it's interesting, the Maral and his Chedushi Agadis right here in Masechet Chulin says, how did Chazal know this? Like, we're going to see now a lot of fascinating. But how did they know that? Maybe the pshat in the Sarah Mashkin's dream is what Yosef told him. Again, it's not an arbitrary point what the interpretation of the dream was. That's the Iker Parsha of the dream. Sarah Mashkin has a dream. Yosef says this is the interpretation of the dream. It plays itself out, and because of that, Yosef. So how did Chazal know that there's more here? So the Maral says that if you think about it, this is the Haskalah Sagaula, this dream right here. I mean, up until now, Yosef is lying in jail. But as soon as Yosef interprets the dream, so now we're ready, the seeds were planted, that Pari is one day going to find out about Yosef. He's going to be blown away by his mystical powers. Eventually, he's going to take him out. Yosef is going to become the Mishnah Lamelech. When there's a hunger, the brothers are going to come down. They're going to interact with Yosef. They're going to settle in Mitzrayim, reduce Shonim. Eventually, they're going to leave Mitzrayim, and that's going to be the Geula. So says the Maral inside. Because through that, says the Maral, that being that so much came from this dream, Chazal felt that there must be more here. That if the Geulas Yisrael came about, the Haschol of it was this dream, there must be somewhere in the dream an addition and a hidden meaning that relates very much to Geulas Yisrael. And on that note, says the Gemara, Ubegefen Shleishas Arigim. So there were three branches on this vine. Amar Abchia Barabo, Amar Rav, Elu Gimel, Sare, Geim, Hayoitzemi Mitzrayim, Bechol Dover Dar. Hayoitzemi Yisrael, Bechol Dover Dar. These are the three Geim that are members of Klal Yisrael in every generation. So what do Geyim mean? Rashi says, Ashirim, these are wealthy Jews, who crave them lamalchus, and they have some form of protectio. Either way, and every generation has, there's some generations where two of them live in Bavel, or in Chutzlar, one lives in Eretz Yisrael, and there's times that two of them live in Eretz Yisrael, one of them lives in Bavel. And when Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said this, Yavu Rabbanan Einayus, everybody started rolling their eyes. Who were they staring at? Rabbanu Ukva, Rabbanu Nechemya, on Rav Ukva and Rav Nechemya, b'nei Barte de Rav, Rav's grandchildren. So Rav had a daughter, one who had two sons. One was Rabbanu Ukva, the other one was Rabbanu Nechemya. Apparently, quoting Rashi, they were Ashirim, Ukrovim, Amalchus. They were very wealthy, and they used to help the Jews. And they were two out of the three Sarigim that the Sar HaMashkim had dreamed. Rava, Omer, Rava says, Elu Shleisha Sari Geim. These are actually three Sarim of the Umay Sa'olam, Shemalamdim, Tzchusa Yisrael, B'chol Dar B'dar. Rashi says, Gimel Sari Goyim Malachim. This is referring to the Sarim that Ramban talks about throughout his Pirush Al HaTorah. This is on the angel level. So the point is that you have three Malachim, angels, that are Melitz Toy for Klal Yisrael. So they're the angels of the 70 nations of the Umay Sa'olam, but at the same time, they're good to the Jews, so to speak. And that's what these three Sarigim are. Tanya Blazo Oymer. Gefen. The Gefen that the Sar HaMashkin saw in his dream, Zeho Oylov, referring to the world. Shalisha Sarigim. Who are the three Sarigims that are from Yitzchak V'Yakov? The Hikafay Rachas Osa Nitza Eloahi Mois. That's referring to the Mois. So the grapes that are starting to blossom, those are the Mois. If Shilu Eshkeleseo Anovim, and when it says that the grapes had fully ripened, that's Eloah Shvatim, that's Klal Yisrael. So now Klal Yisrael was already fully ripened, that's the Shvatim. Rabbi Yeshua told Rabbi Eliezer, V'chimar Rabbi La'adam, Masha Hayas, if you have Rabbi Eliezer, you can have Rabbi Yeshua, even in Agadata. So in all the Lavdish Sugis, there's always a machloik between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. He had it in Divrei Agada. So Rabbi Yeshua didn't even like Rabbi Eliezer's interpretation of the dream of the Sar HaMashkim. And the reason is, he said, because the dream, if it's going to have significance as a prophecy of a Nevuah, it should be telling us something that's going to happen. Everything that Rabbi Eliezer is interpreting in this dream happened already. Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, that happened. The Imois happened. The Shvatim happened. It must be something that's going to happen in the future. Elo Gefen's at Torah. Gefen is referring not to the world, but to the Torah. Shalisha Sarigim is not Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Rabbi Yeshua said. Rather, Elo Moshe V'Haron Miriam. V'hike Pirachas also Nitzo. That's not referring to the Imois, but rather Elo Sanhedrin. And if Shilu Eshkel Esel Anovim, Elo Atzadikim Shabachal Dar V'dar. So the Sar HaMashkim saw in his dream, he saw the future of Klal Yisrael. He saw the Torah. He saw Moshe, Aharon, Miriam. He saw the Sanhedrin. He saw the Tzaddikim Shabachal, Dar V'dar. Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel heard what Rabbi Eliezer said. And then he heard what Rabbi Yeshua said. And he said something that he often says in Shas. Adayin Srichan Anul Madai. That after all the nice pshatim, but we still have to come out. The best pshat is the pshat of Rabbi Laza Amayidai. The Moikim Lekula B'chad Makan. Because according to his pshat, all the Ramazim in this pasuk, as we'll see now, all related to one place. What does that mean? Laza Madai Yoimer. Gavin Zay Yerushalayim. Shalisha Sarigim. The Mikdash, Melech, the Kohen Gadol. They're all Bechad Makon. The Mikdash, the Melech, and the Kohen Gadol were all located in Yerushalayim. Ve'ike Pirachas also Nitza, Elu Pirchei Kohuna. It's referring to the young Kohanim. If Shilu Eshkeleseo Anovim, Elu Nesachim. Interesting. The Nesachim get an honorable mention in this dream, more so than the other Karbanos. Pashut Nesachim is just a reference to the things that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. But regardless, you have to know why the Nesachim. I mean, we're dealing with grapes and wine. But Rav Shulam and Levi, Maikim Lov and Matanis, Rav Shulam and Levi said a different, similar pshat. He said it's referring to different Matanis that the Yidin got. Rav Shulam and Levi, Gevin Zutair, Shalisha Sarigim, Zeh Be'er, Amud Anon, Uma. Those are the three matonois, toivois that the Yidden got when they were in the Midbar. Vika perachas also nitsa ela bikurim. If Shilu Eshkelesel Anovim, again, Elu Nesachim. Yirmer Abba Amar, Gefen Elu Yisrael. Rabbi Yirmer Abba said that the Gefen that the Sar HaMashkim saw was Klal Yisrael. V'chenu Oymer, as the Pasuk says, Gefen mi Mitzrayim Tasia. That you see that the Jews of Mitzrayim were referred to as a Gefen. Gefen mi Mitzrayim Tasia. Shloisha Sarigim. That's a reference to the Shalish Regolim. Vehike Perachas also Nitzah, the fruit are starting to blight. Higiyas Manim Shal Yisrael, Lifreis Velerbais. Vechenu Oim Ruvne Yisrael, Poru Vayishritzu. Also Nitzah, Higiyas Manim Shal Yisrael, Ligoel. Vechenu Oim Ruvneyes Nitzchom, Al Bigde Vechom Abusha Yigalti. Then when it says that the grapes were fully ripened, what it was referring to is that Mitzrayim now is going to have to drink a koisa tarevo. So in the olden days, when something bad happened, they would drink a koisa tarevo. So it's time for Mitzrayim to drink. I know the Amar Rava. Rava said, Shalosh koisa mu'ez Mitzrayim. Lama, why the three mentions of kois in the dream of the Sarah Mashkin, meaning after this pasuk that the Gemara keeps on darshaning, what does it say? It says that Yosef tells the Sarah Mashkin, you're going to pour now a kais to Pari, and it says three times in that pasuk the word kais. The reason is because the Sarah Mashkin dreams of Pari drinking a kais. It's not a kais of simcha, it's not a kais of bracha, but rather it's a kais atarelo, it's the bad type of glass of wine. And the reason there's three is because shloich of kais amuris from echa shasabi me moisha, because Pari drank a kais atarelo in the times of moisha, the echa shasabi me par nechev, the echa shasid the lishtoids, in koloiv they kechav, all the umais oilam, in the end of days are going to drink a kais atarelo. Oh, the Rab Abba, the Rab Yemir Bar Abba, Gigarish Lu, Rav Lahani Kroi, Rab Abba told Rab Yemir Bar Abba, after all these pshatim that we just mentioned, so he said that when Rav used to darshan these psukim, bagadito kavosich darish lehu, he used to darshan it the way that you used to darshan it. Had Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba darshan, it was the last pshat. Gefen el Yisrael, gefen mitzrayim tasir. So this last, more long-winded pshat, that was the pshat that Rav used to say as well. Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. It's true. Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, which is gefen, right? Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Umazu ke gefen nimshalah. This klal Yisrael is nimshal togash. We're, as a nation, we compare it to a geffen. Why we compare it to a geffen? Zmeiros sheba, the zmeiros, the branches of the geffen, elu balabatim. The zmeiros are the balabatim. Eshkoilos sheba, the eshkoilos, the clusters of grapes, elu talmidei chacham. They're the talmidei chacham. Alin sheba, the leaves of the vine, elu amei ha'aretz. They're the amei ha'aretz. And the knoiknois sheba, these are these windy vines that go around the branches. Elu reikonim shebi Yisrael. V'hainu d'sholchem itam. And this is what they meant when they used to send from Eretz Yisrael. Liboi rachamim iskali al alyo. The clusters should daven for the leaves. What does it mean that the clusters should daven for the leaves? So it's a mashal, it's a metaphor. What it means is the clusters are the tamid chachamim. They should daven for the leaves. They're the amei ha'aretz. The umolei alyo. Because if not for the leaves, le miskaimo iskali. You wouldn't have the cluster. What does this all mean? So it's worth seeing Rashi inside. It says Rashi, Umazu Yisrael, middle of the Yomid, Nimshlo ke Gefen. As the Pasuk says, Gefen mi Mitzrayim Tasiya. What does it mean that the nation is compared to a Gefen? What it means is that the Zmoirosh Shaba Ilo Balabatim. The Zmoirosh, the branches are the Balabatim. The Mahaz Moira Hazu, Moitzian Lulavim. Just like the Zmoira, it sprouts forth lulavim, va'alim, upri. Everything comes from the zmoiros. The hu ikar ha-gefen. It's the ikar of the gefen. Kach balibatim, so to the balibatim. Goyim lechesed. Umachzikim yideyanim. Umefazrim amoynim lemalchus b'shalachim. Umeskaimin al-yodam. So says Rashi, it's the ikar ha-gefen, because really that's the starting point. That's the basis. That's the foundation of Klal Yisrael. Without me kemach in Torah, without what the balibatim contribute to Klal Yisrael, the chesed, the fact that the machzik yideyanim, the mefazrim amoynim, you can't get started. Alin, who's the alin? Shebegefen soivlin haruach. The leaves, they protect the grapes. They're soivel the ruach umagidim alu ashkoilos layakim shrav v'shemes v'ruchos, so that the elements, the weather, shouldn't affect it. Kach ameyoret, so to the ameyoret, charshim v'zoyrim v'koytzrim mashu tamid hachachamim oichlin. So that's true. They themselves are not learning Torah. But at the end of the day, let's be honest. If nobody was doing the work in the field, then it would be impossible to. Someone has to do it, right? So the Alim, they on some level, they protect the Eshkoilis. So the Tamid HaChamim, they're the Eshkol. They're the focal point. But at the same time, the Zmiris are the foundation. The Alim protect them. And it's all together. The Ummah as a whole is compared to the Gefen, because we all need each other. And if we don't all have each other, then it doesn't work. And V'hainu D'sholchem Itam, L'boi Rachmi, Iskalya Al-Alya, Dil Mole Alya, L'oi Meskaimin Iskalya. Just practical. Either way, the Pasuk continues, the Gemara does, and quotes a Pasuk. It says, V'ekroha li b'chamisha asar kasef. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yoichanan Mishum Mishim Yaitzalik. Ain't kira lashem mechira. The word kira means mechira. Shenemar bekivri asher korisli. Yaakov Avinu said that I bought Maros HaMachpelah. This was his deal that he had with Esau. So he said he bought Maros HaMachpelah. He used the word asher korisli. So
kira miloshin mechira. Ein kira el loshin mechira. B'chamisha asa. What does it mean that the ekra li b'chamisha asa kasa b'chamisha asa b'chamisha asa menisa shabayin nugalu yisrael mimisar. Say the Klal Yisrael were bought, so to speak, on the fifteenth day of Nisan. That's the day they left Mitzrayim. What does kesef mean? Kesef elu tzadikim. Chinu oy Mitzrayim ha kesef lakach biyoder. Chaymer sa'orim v'lesach sa'orim. What does that mean? So a chaymer is equal to 30 sa'. A lesech is equal to 15 sa. So chaymer sa'orim v'lesach sa'orim elu arbon v'chamisha tzadikim sheha oyla miskaimim. These are the 45 tzadikim on which whose shoulders the world stands. Ve'ini yodeya, says the pasuk, shloishim kan v'chamisha asa b'eretz Yisrael. Meaning it's clear that this 45 is divided into two groups. This 30 and this 15. How do you know that? Because the pasuk doesn't say 45. What it says is chaymer and lesech. Chaymer means 30, lesech means 15. So 30 and 15, back them up a little, so you end up with 45. But clearly there's two groups. There's the 30 group and there's the 15 group. So it says the Gemara, ve'ini yodeya, in shloishim kan v'chamisha b'eretz Yisrael, or in the reverse, in shloishim b'eretz Yisrael v'chamisha also can. When it says the echo shloishim hakesef v'ashluch oisoi beis Hashem el hayoitzer, so it says over there 30 v'ashluch oisoi beis Hashem. So you have 30 and beis Hashem have yoyim shloishim v'eretz Yisrael v'chamisha also can. Omer Abaya said, if you want to know where these 45 tzaddikim are, v'rubayu mishtakchi bebnei knishta, most of them could be found in the beis hakneses, the tusi after, which is underneath the after. Rashi says after means yotzia of Perek HaMoicheres HaBayis fame. That's like one of these attached chambers. Where somebody sells a bayis, is the yotzia included in the mechir at the beginning of the fourth parak. Yesterday we discussed the end of Chesk Sabbat, and this is the very next Mishnah. Yeah, but either way, for Rubayu Mishtakhi, Bebeknishta the Tusi after. What's the significance of that? Said Ben Yoyada says, you know what the significance is? You would think that where you're going to find these 45 tzaddikim? On the Mizrach land, right? Or somewhere in Tafkin, a very chashuv place. Says, it's not always the way it is. Meaning, there's a concept of a tzaddik nistar also. So, if you're thinking of who the 45 are, sometimes they're Bahaltan Eden. They sit, the Tusi after, those are the ones that can be members of this 45. In Toiv Be'enechem, Havu Schari, Ve'im Loi Chadalu, Vayishkulu Es Schari, Shloishim Kosef. What does that pasuk mean? So it seemed, Rashi says that this is a nevuah of Zechariah, and it's related to the Ovdei Kechavim, and somehow Hashem says that because of the fact that you didn't do what you were supposed to do, Vayishkelu Aschari Shloishim Kesef. I'm taking my 30 Kesef. What does this mean? Rabbi Yehuda says, Elu Shloishim Tzadikim Umayisoylam Shumayisoylam Askaim Valer. That it's a remez to the 30 Tzadike Umayisoylam that allowed the Umay Sa'olam to stand. So we have 45 tzaddikim. The Umay Sa'olam have 30 tzaddikim. So there's 30 tzaddikim that the Umay Sa'olam have, and that's what Zechariah was referring to when he mentioned Vayishkulu Eschari Shloishim Kosef. Ula Amar, Ula says, Elu Shloishim Mitzvahs Shekiblu Aleim Benayach. It's referring to the 30 mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So we're familiar with the Sheva mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Now you know the rest of the story. So there's the Shloisha mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So what are the 30 mitzvahs Bnei Noach? So if you have an art scroll Gemara on the bottom, they bring from the Ramami Pano, they list out the third. Ramami Pano had a cheshbon, something worth visiting at a time that we have a little bit more time. But regardless, 30 mitzvahs Bnei Noach. But the Ein Mekayim in El... Yeah, so some of them are not mitzvahs that we would necessarily have in the Torah. They're all mitzvahs, obviously, but not necessarily 30 of the 613 mitzvahs. The Ein Mekayim in El Shloisha, and they're only Mekayim 3. So which 3 of the 30 are they Mekayim? Number one, She'en Koisven Ksuba L'Schare. Number one, that there's no Teyeva marriage, which clearly seems to be suggesting, says Rashi, the Afal Pisha Chshudim L'Mishkav Zachar, even though the Choshev HaMishkav Zachar, U'miyachadim L'hem Zachar L'tashmishan, but at the same time, Einoye Kalus Roish B'mitzvah Zu Kol Kach She'yichtuvu L'chop Ksuba. So they're so depraved, but Afal P came never to the point where they would actually sanction, where they would write a ksuba for such a marriage. That's number one. Number two, v'achash in shoyklam sara meis b'makulam. They don't weigh human flesh and sell it in the shuk, and sell it in the butcher store, sell it in the market. Again, it's the same cheshmen. That even though they were cannibals, they ate human flesh. These are the pagans of once upon a time. But even they had some sort of sensitivity. So you're not going to find it on the shelf at your local supermarket. So because there was an element of sensitivity to it. And then finally, the third mitzvah is that they're mechabed the Torah. So these are three. Again, these are not three of the Tariq mitzvahs. Ain't koisvahs ksuba l'schar. But you got the gist. The point is, there's 30 things that they were commanded to do. Out of the 30 that they were supposed to do, There's only three that they do exhale. So either way, before we go weiter, just a few ha'aris. So out of order. We mentioned in the Gemara this idea of there being 45 tzaddikim. Chomer sa'orim, velekach, velesach sa'orim in the context of kesef, which is a mushal to the tzaddikim. And we see from here that there's a chomer, which is 30 sa'ah, plus a lesach, which is 15 sa'ah, of not barley, but rather tzaddikim. So you have 45 tzaddikim, but broken into two groups. There's a 30 and there's a 15. But we know from the pasuk that says that But either way, there seems to be this idea. There seems to be this idea of 45 tzaddikim. So the truth is, we're all familiar with lamed vav tzaddikim. But where do you? But where do you have this idea of so the truth is like this. There's a few chazals. Number one, there's a medrash in Parshas Vayera. The medrash says Vavram Hoyoyia. So the context over there is Parshas Vayera. Before Hashem is going to destroy Sodom, he says, "I'm a chassid in Avram. Is it possible for me not to tell Avram Avinu what happened?" Vavram Hoyoyia Lagagadol. Incidentally, we spoke out earlier in the week. It's just popped into my head. We spoke out earlier in the week that the exchange between Avram Avinu and Melech Stoim. So Melech Stoim told Avram Avinu, "Tein li anefesh v'rechush kach loch." And it seems that Avram Avinu gave the nefashos back to Melech Stoim. And the truth is, Chazal say there was a shtickel tie in Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu was in the kirov business, and for him to take those nefashos and to give them back to Melech Stoim was a questionable move. Maybe he should have taken those nefashos for himself, and he should have gone, and he should have tried being makar of them. Says the Hilgich Sam Sofer that Avram Avinu had some chalish sadas for what he did. He felt back, in the back of his mind, he thought that maybe what he did wasn't 100% true. When it came time to destroy Sodom, Avram HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, what became evident at the time was that the Yidden of, that the Sodom was so steeped in Tumah, they were so gone, they were so rachik from having any hope and any chance of anything good coming from them. At that point, Avram Avinu was okay, because he realized that he would have never been able to do anything with these nefashos either. So says the Chassam Sofer, that's what Hashem said, "Hamechasa ani me'Avram." Should I not tell Avram what I'm about to do? Why? Why does Avram have to know? Why was it necessary? So Pasha Avram was gonna daven or whatever the cheshbon was. Says the Chassam Sofer, another element over here. Let me give Avram Avinu the chizik. Let him realize he doesn't have to have chalishas adas, because he wasn't nichshol. Nothing happened. At the end of the day, there was nothing that was ever gonna. But either way, the pasuk "Hamechasa ani me'Avram va'Avram." Says the Medrash, he was telling them that the world would never be lacking 30 tzaddikim like Avram Avinu. Rab Yudin v'Rab Acha b'Shem Rab Alexandri Meisel Mehocha v'Avram Hoya Yiyye. The word Yiyye, Yud Eser v'Hei Chamesh, the Yud Eser v'Hei Chamesh, 10 plus 5 plus 10 plus 5, back of the envelope arithmetic, we end up as 30. So Avram Hoya Yiyye, every generation has year 30 tzaddikim on the level of Avram Avinu. Incidentally, this is one of the two makoras in the beginning of Masechtas Nazir, Rav Barpod and Rav Masna. How you know Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom? Kodesh year. It's the same word, year. But either way, so there's an idea of 30 tzaddikim like Avram Avinu. This medrash is in Parshas Noach as well. Rav Chizkiyah b'shem Rav Yirmiyah Amar. Kach Amar Rav Shem Ben Yochai. Eino Oilam Yochai Lamoid Bepachos Mishloshim Tzaddikim K'Avram Avinu. The world cannot stand if there's less than 30 tzaddikim like Avram Avinu. Then Rav Shem Ben Yochai said, Italsin Inun, if there's 30, I know Bri Treminoin. Me and my son was Rav Shimon are two of the 30. Then Esrin, if there's 20, I know Bri Minoin. Then Masari Inun, and if there's only 10, I know Bri Minoin. Then Chamishi Inun, I know Bri Minoin. Then Trainer, if there's only 2, I know Bri Hein. Then Chadu, and what if there's 1? I know who. Then it's me. It's interesting. This Gemara is also Gemara. Well, I know. It's also a Gemara. Masech the Sukkah, Daf Mem Hei on the way. The Gemara brings this, that second part, where Rav Shimon Bayichoy said that if there's 2 Chashuva people, it's me and my son. That same exact Gemara. The Gemara over there asks the Kasha, really? Is there only 2? How could there be only 2? Abaya said, didn't Abaya say? The Pasuk says, Ashrei Kol Choychei Loi. The word loy is begematria talsan v'shisa havas. You have another gematria. It's a gematria 36, and we see from here loy pachis alma mi talsan v'shisa tzadiki. It always has to be 36, and the Gemara gives an answer. Different levels of tzadikim, but the point is, in our Gemara we had 45 tzadikim. You have 2 midrashim, a medrash in Parshas Noach,
and a medrash in Parshas Vayera that talk about 30 tzaddikim, but not just 30 tzaddikim. 30 tzaddikim like Avram Avinu, and then you have over here the Gemara Masach Tesukah, it's also Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadik Zayinim Abayz, and Perek Chelik that everybody knows, and that is the Lamed Vav tzaddikim, the 36 tzaddikim. So is it 45? Is it 30? Is it 36? But just one interesting thing, that the medrash in Parshas Vayera, Parshas Mayach says, tzaddikim, like Avram Avinu. So I saw in the In Eliyahu, on this Gemara right here, so he quotes this Medrash, and he says, maybe that's the Pshat of what Chazal say, Chayev Adam Lohimar. A person has to say, Masai Yagiyu Masai L'Masai Avoisai. When am I going to be Kamasiya? When am I going to be like Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov? So Pashit, that just means like, I want to be a Choshev Yid. He says, no, there's a Tifkite over here. Because in every generation, a person could be like Avram Avinu. This is actually a Madrega that you can strive for. So this is a real thing. I want to be one of the 30 Tzadikim that like Pachas Alma. I want to be from the Avram Hoya Yid, Yid Begamatria Talsin. That every single door has 30 Tzadikim like Avram Avinu. That is the Pneumius of Masai Yagia Masai L'Masai Avoisai. He says that if there's 30 tzaddikim in every generation like Avram Avinu, presumably there are people that could be on the Madrig of Yitzchak, and there are presumably people that could be on the Madrig of Yaakov, and that's Masai Yagia Masai, not just like Avram Avinu, but K'Masai Avoisai. So he wants to answer Rabbi Yeshua's Kasha and Rabbi Eliezer. At the beginning of the daf, so Rabbi Eliezer, Darsh in the Pasuk, that the Geffen is referring to the world. And what are the three branches, the three Serigim? It's Avram, it's Yitzchak and Yaakov. And what did Rabbi Yeshua tell Rabbi Eliezer? Is what he's having a dream about bygones being, this is already Madahava Hava, this happened already. Why is the Saramashkim dreaming about something that happened in the past? Dreams are supposed to be more blueprint for the future, says the Ein Eliyahu. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is not just about the past, because every single generation has 30 tzaddikim like Avram Avinu, and there could be tzaddikim like Yitzchak and Yaakov, and that's Masai Yagiyu Masai L'Masai Avoisai. That's the teretz to Rabbi Yeshua's kasha on Rabbi Eliezer. Gishmak. So sometimes he answers Tosfos kasha. He's answering Rabbi Yeshua's kasha. Gishmak. Rabbi Yeshua's kasha on Rabbi Eliezer. That's the first order. The second aura is, so the Pasuk says, and this is really the more general context, Vayeyovek, Vayeyovek ish imoy. So there's a battle between Yaakov Avinu and Sarai Shel Esav, and Yaakov Avinu is the one that wins the battle. Right, the Gemara started off when it says, Vayaser Amaloch. It's not clear a little from the psukim any idea mean nasasar lami, but kishahu oimer kisarisa imalikim have the oimer Yaakov nasasar lamalach. And this was at first glance was a very big kiddush. The fact that Yaakov Avinu was able to defeat Sarai Shel Esav, I mean, it came as news to the Sarai Shel Esav. He wasn't expecting this, right? The pasuk says he realized kila yuchala. He thought he was going to be able to defeat him very, very easily. I mean, Yaakov Avinu at the end of the day is a mortal. He's a man. This is a malach. So how does a man fight against a malach? And this was a very big chiddush, ma'isa avisim l'banim. But the point is that at the end of the day, Yaakov was able to defeat him. So I was thinking, and this is very much above my pay grade, but just one ha'ara based on a line that I saw in the Archaim HaKadosh right here in Parshas Vayishlach. And that is the Rambam in Hilchas Yisoidei HaTorah. It's Perek Beis Halacha Zayin. So the Rambam talks about Malachim. And you find, this was a little bit yesterday's daf as well, that there are different places in Tanakh and Chazal, the Malachim are referred to by different names. Says the Rambam, Shinu Shema Yisam Malachim. The reason that you find different names for Malachim is Al Shem Malusamu. It's based on the level of the Malach. So we know a Malach can't go from level to level. A Malach is an Oymed. Chassam Sofer brings throughout his forum from his Rebbe Da'afla that's the Pshat in Chazal. Imdoima Harav Malach Elikim Tzvakis Yivakish Torah Mipiu. If your Rebbe is like a Malach, you should learn Torah from. What does it mean? Your Rebbe is like a Malach? What if he's just a big tzaddik? What does it mean if your Rebbe is like a malach? Emphasis on malach. He says because a malach is an oymed. A malach can't go from madrega to madrega. He has no bechira, he has no free will. So a malach is created to operate on a certain level, and that's the level that he's always going to operate on. He said a Rebbe has to be an oymed. A Rebbe has to be someone that's 100% dedicated to his Talmidim and not concerned with his own aliyos and not concerned with his own steiging. He says, if a Rebbe is like a Malach, he's an Oymed. He says, I'm giving myself up 100% for my Talmidim. I'm not worried about my own steiging. But if he's concerned about his own steiging, I'll yuvakish toyer mipiyu. But regardless, but there's different Malachim that are... So he has nothing to worry about. Shinu Shemes Amalachim Al Shem Malusim. That's why you find some Malachim that are Nikron Chayos HaKodesh.
And what's the highest HaKodesh? V'heim l'maylam and HaKol. That's the highest level of a Malach. And then you find, says the Rambam, another 9 Madrigas. So he singles out the highest HaKodesh. And then you find the Oifanim, the Erelim, Chashmalim, Srofim, Malachim, Elokim, Bnei Elokim, Kruvim v'ishim, says the Rambam. Kol edu asara Hashem shenikru mema malachim Hashem esra ma'ilosh olehem heim. These 10 names represent 10 madregas. U'ma'ilosh e'la ma'ilam imenu. The one that's the highest, meaning the one that's so high that the only one that's higher than it is ma'ilos akel baruchu. He ma'ilos atzurois shenikras chayos. So the chayos hakodesh, they're the highest level. Lefichach nemra b'nevuah, and therefore you find where the chayos hakodesh are mentioned in Tanakh, say for Yecheskel, is shehin tachas hakiseh, that they're underneath the kiseh because they're so high. The only thing higher than them is the kiseh hakoved. Umaylo asiris, the lowest level. Relative, comparatively speaking, is Milas Hatsura Shenekras Ishim. Vehema Malochim Shemidabrim Hanavim Vinirim Lehem Bemara Hanavua. Either way, says the Rambam, there's 10 Madregois of Malochim. The highest is the Chayos HaKodesh. The lowest is the Ishim. There are 8 levels in between. The Chayos HaKodesh's level is so high that the only thing higher is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And that's why whenever the Chayos HaKodesh are mentioned in Nach, says the Rambam, you find that they're Tachas HaKiseh. The Tachas HaKiseh b'malosam, because there's nothing higher than them. The only thing higher than them is the Kiseh HaKoven. It's Kaviyachal himself. The lowest Madrega is the Madrega of Ishim. That's the Madrega, says the Rambam, that could sometimes manifest itself in a physical world. Him ha-malochim shemidabrim manaviyim, v'nir lehem b'mara hanavua. And that's why they're called Ishim. They're called Ishim shemalosam kroiva mimailas tasa adam. Because their Madrega is somewhat similar to the Madrega of Adam. They're not Adam, they're much higher than Adam. But they can relate to Adam. They can come b'nevua. There are times that they can appear on some level in a physical nature. Either way, Yaakov Avinu fights with a malach. And when the Pasuk describes the malach for the first time, what does the Pasuk say? But we know it wasn't an ish. It was really a malach. So if it was a malach, why does it say ish? It says, you know why it says ish? Because this malach was on the level of ishim. Like the Rambam says in Perik Beis from Hilchos Yisoidei HaTorah. And being that it was on the level of ishim, that's why it's referred to as ish. That's what the Rambam says. Ishim is really from the word ish. It's from the word ishim, malosam kroivam imailas tasa adam, because it's the one that's closest to the mailo of ish. So even though the pasuk says ish, it's true, but at the same time, the reason it says, you know, in the beginning of the parasha, parasha's Vayishlach begins, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. Rashi says, what does Malachim mean? Malachim mamish. So in the beginning of the parasha, it says Malachim. And here, when we're referring to the Malach, we refer to it as ish. It's not a kasha, it's different levels. There's a level of Malach, and there's a level of Ishim. But either way, this Malach right here was Ish. The reason he was Ish, because he was on the Madrega of Ishim. What about Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu is a person, that's true. But at the same time, Yaakov Avinu is not really a person. We know, we had it yesterday's daf. The Mustyukne Shal Yaakov is Chokuk Weir. It's Chokuk Tachas Kisi Yaakovit. That means Yaakov Avinu, the immortal side of Yaakov Avinu, is the Madreg of Tachas Kisi Yaakovit. When the Rambam talks about the highest level of Malachim, it's the Chayas HaKodesh. He says it's the level that the only thing higher than that is HaKodesh Baruch himself. Why is Lefichach, says the Rambam, Nema Benavua, Shehein Tachas HaKise. Yaakov Avinu's level is Tachas HaKiseh. That's what Chazal said. Most Yukna is Tachas Kiseh Yaakovit. So Yaakov Avinu's level is a level of Tachas HaKiseh. Whereas the Malach's level was the level of Ish. Vayyovik Ishimoy. He was Ishim. Shemalosim Kravim Malos Das Adam. So it's Pasha why Yaakov Avinu was Kisarisa Malachim Alanashim. The reason he was able to overcome him is because it's true. The Malach was a Malach. But Yaakov Avinu's level of Malach was a much higher level. Yaakov Avinu's the level of Tachas Kisi Yaakov. This is Me'ain, the level of Chayas HaKodesh, as opposed to the Malach, whose level is a level of Ish. That's the second Ha'ara. The third Ha'ara is, so we mentioned at the end of yesterday's daf, and then we'll do part 2 of the daf, but we mentioned at the end of yesterday's daf this fascinating idea, and that is that In the Loisa say of Gidan Asha, there's a Maisa Ovis similar banim to the future of Klal Yisrael. We spoke at the Ramban's Hakdama to Parshas Vayishlach that this is the Parshas Hagolos, that in this Parsha there's a remez to all the happenings that the Yidden were going to have when they encounter Esav. We mentioned the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Gimel, who talks about the importance of the Mitzvah Gidan Asha. I mean, the truth is, if you think about it for a minute, just to add a little bit to what we mentioned yesterday, and that is that the loisa say of Gidan Asha, we've said it so many times, the third mitzvah in the Torah, according to the Chinuch. I think it's something worth thinking about. Right? The Rambam in Perek Tes, Hilchas Malachim, tells us the history, the genesis, pun intended, of the mitzvah. Says the Rambam, Al Shisha Dvarim Nitztava Adam Arishai. Adam Arishai was commanded six mitzvahs. Al Avodah Zarah, Val Berachas Hashem, Val Shvichas Domim, Val Gilui Arayos, Val Agezel, Val Adinim. I'm skipping. Hoysev Lenoyach. So Adam Rishon had not Sheva mitzvah, six mitzvahs. Then Noach had Eva Menachai. That's the seventh mitzvah. Shenemer Achbasar ben Nafshoi. Domoy lo yisaychelu. Nimsu Sheva mitzvahs. It comes out by the time of Noach, there were seven mitzvahs. Thus, the Sheva mitzvahs b'neinah. V'chein hoya adava b'chol oivam. And this is the way it was. Throughout the world, says the Rambam, Ad Avram. Nitztav yeser elu b'milu. Avram Avinu came. Avram got the mitzvah of milu. V'was b'al shachos. He also davened shachos. V'yitzchok came. V'hifresh meiser. He added meiser. And he davened as the sun was setting, mincha. V'yakov, hoisef gid hanosha, v'espalol arvis. Then the Rambam says, u'b'mitzrayim nitztava amram b'mitzvahs yitzeres. That when the Yidden were Mitzrayim, Amram had more mitzvahs. What are the mitzvahs yitzeres? So that's you do it for Reb Chaim Briska, chuppah, v'kedushin, etc. Ad shabam Moshe Rabbeinu, spoke to that in the beginning of Sachtas Kedushin, in the intro, I think. Ad shabam Moshe Rabbeinu v'nishlam v'toyra al yadoy, until Moshe Rabbeinu came, and the Torah became nishlam. But either way, Gid Hanosh is literally from the first mitzvahs of the Torah. And it would seem that there's some message of tremendous significance that it's literally, historically speaking, from the first mitzvahs we ever had. I mean, it's an abstract law. And it's something that, you know, unless you're a sheikhid, you don't fully appreciate. And especially today, where we just get rid of that whole side of the animal. So we don't even deal with it. But historically speaking, the mitzvah of Gidan Asher was so significant. This goes back to Parshas Vayishlach Yaakov Avinu, the Rambam, when he tells the history of mitzvahs. Right in the beginning, there was the mitzvah of Gidan Asher. I mean, it's up there with the Sheva mitzvahs B'nai Noach, Shvichas Domim, and Gilei Arayis, and Gezel, Avodah Zarah. It's fascinating. But the point is, the way the Chinuch explains it, and the way the Rabban explains it, in the mitzvah of Gidan Asher, there's some lesson that's very, very important for Klal Yisrael. There's a lesson that we need to take with us. We need to take with us from the mitzvah of Gidan. What's that lesson? The lesson is that even though we're going to fight, and we're going to struggle, and there's going to be inquisitions, and expulsions, and holocausts, and churbanos, etc. But at the same time, v'yarkilo yuchaloi, at the end of the day, the Malach saw that he couldn't defeat Yaakov. Yeah, Yaakov was limping, and there was a Gid that was nasha from its real place, but at the end of the day, and this is the story of Klal Yisrael, and this is so important, it's so significant that it's the third mitzvah, the third from the first mitzvahs that were ever nitztava. But just to end and wrap this up with one halakha Chassam Sofer, I saw the Chassam Sofer right here on this Gemara in Masechtos Chulin. So the Chassam Sofer says like this: we know there are 248 mitzvahs aseh. This 365 mitzvahs lois aseh. The Marsha says that's pshat nimnu v'gamru. Noach loy la'adam shaloy nivra misha nivra. Right, there was a shayla three. They argued, would it have been better had we been born, or would it? Tamid of Shabbat, Tamid of Hill. Noach loy la'adam shaloy nivra yoyis mishaloy nivra, or noach la'adam shaloy nivra yoyis. And it says nimnu v'gamru. They counted and they realized noach loy la'adam shaloy nivra. He says, what's the pshat? He says, because had we not been born, so we could not have done the mitzvah essay, but we also could not have done the mitzvah lois essay. Now that we're born, so we have opportunities to do mitzvah essay. We also have opportunities to do mitzvah lois essay. Which one's more? Are there more essays? Meaning, could we do more good? Or is there more damage to be done? So says the Marsha, there's 248 mitzvahs essay. There's 365 mitzvahs lois essay. That means there's more damage that could be done. If there's more damage could be done, if you just want to play the odds, it would make more sense. Noach loy la'adam shaloy nivra. It's better we don't be born. Why risk? It's you just don't have good odds. 365 versus 248. So he says, that's Nimnu V'gamru. Nimnu V'gamru, what do you mean they count? The Pasha means they took a vote. Says the Marsha in his Chedushia Goddess. And then the Masechtas Makkos, Nimnu V'gamru, they counted. They counted 248 mitzvahs essay. Then they counted 365 mitzvahs lois essay. And they realized there's more lois essays than essay, more bad that could be done than good. And as a result, Noyach Leila Adam Shalai Nivra Yaisa Misha Nivra. But we know there's also 365 days in the year. Says the Chassam Sofer, Kosfu HaRishonim. Shisa Gidin, the 365 Gidin are connected to Shisa Lavin. And the
It's also connected to 365 days of the year. So if the 365 lavin, let's focus on that part, are connected to 365 days in the year, on a deeper level, every gid, or every lav, I'm sorry, corresponds to one day. So every single lav, 365 lavin, corresponds to one of the 365. So literally, if you knew how to do this exercise, you can start connecting dots between the 365 lavin and the 365 days. Says the Chasam Sofer, the kosfu hamikubalim. The mikubalim say that the loisa say of Gid Hanasha is kenegi. You know which day on the calendar? Tisha B'Av. It's connected the ninth day of Av. And that's why the Mekubalim say, Ha'eichel b'Tisha B'Av is Ka'eichel Gid Hanasha. So he says, what's the Pshat Chasam Sofer? What's the Remez? Why would Gid Hanasha be the Loisasi from all the 360? Why not Shatnes? Why not something else? You know why? Because in Tisha B'Av, as much as there was Churban in Tisha B'Av, there was a tremendous Nechama in Tisha B'Av. The Nechama was that Hitel Chamasai Al Eitzim V'Avonim, but Klai Yisrael themselves were saved. We were able to make it out alive. Says the Chasam Sofer, that is the message of the Gid Hanasha. The message of the Gid Hanasha is Yarkilo Yuchaloi, that he realized at the end of the day, as much as he tried and he fought, but at the end of the day, Klai Yisrael was able to emerge. They were able to come out. Yaakov, he walked away limping. It's true. We lost the Beis HaMikdash, and then we lost another Beis HaMikdash. He says, that's the Oymik in the Shitas HaChachamim, that it's both thighs, it's the right and the left, it's connected to two Batim Mikdash. Dvarim, classic Chasam Sofer. Dvarim Niflam. But either way, he said, and then there's some Ramazim here. Again, it's worth seeing. It says the Chasam, that's the point. The point is that you have 365 Lavin, Kenega, the 365 days, but more accurately, you have the Lav of Gid HaNasha, which corresponds to Tisha B'Av. What's the message? The message is that on Tisha B'Av, which is the day of, right, the Goyim says, when do we say Nachem? You say it by Mincha. Why do you say Nachem by Mincha on Tisha B'Av? You should say it by, says the Goyim, because Mincha time is when the Churban Beis HaMikdash started. We know the Ikar Churban Beis HaMikdash happened on the 10th day of Av. Rabbi Yochanan said, had he been there and he had a vote, he would have voted not for Tisha B'Av, but Asar B'Av. His vote would have been that it should be the 10th day of Av. But why? Because that's when the Ikkes Reiv happened. When did it start? It really started in the afternoon. It says the Goyim, because Churban Beis HaMikdash started in the afternoon, that's where we say Nachem. That's when we're supposed to say Nachem, just the opposite, right? That's when the Churban started. Then why are you saying Nachem, which is Dvarim of Nechama and Chizuk, Dafka when the Churban started? Says the Goyim, and take a look at this Medrash, that David HaMelech Sober Ruach HaKodesh Beis HaMikdash was to be destroyed, and he's saying Shira. Why do you sing Shira? Because he realized that when Hashem is going to be really angry, what's going to happen to Klai Yisrael? They're going to emerge limping. Okay, fine. Vayiga b'kaf yerech Yaakov. That, something bad is going to happen. There's going to be Churban Beis HaMikdash, but at the end of the day, Vayarki lo yuchaloi, they'll never be able to defeat Klai Yisrael. So there's a tremendous necham in Churban Beis HaMikdash as well. The necham is that we're still around to tell the story, and that in and of itself is mind-blowing, and that in and of itself is tremendous Dibrei Chizuk. That's the story of the Gid Hanasha. We now return to our regular program, which is intense slumbus. Either way, says the Gemara on that note. So the halacha of Gid Hanasha is Noyeg Bebehema, it's Noyeg Bechaya, as per the Mishnah, Peites on the base, the Einoi Noyeg Ba'oif, but it's not Noyeg Ba'oif, and the reason is, Mepnei She'ein Loi Kaf, and the Pasuk, when it mentions the Loisase of the Gid Hanasha, so what does it say? Al Kim Lo Yoichu B'nei Yisrael Es Gid Hanasha, Asher Al Kaf HaYorech, has to be on the Kaf of the Yorech, so we'll see more of the technicalities of Gid Hanasha and tomorrow's stuff, but for now, you need physically for there to be a Kaf HaYorech, so that's Basar, that's shaped somewhat like a kaf, like a spoon, like a cup, that's around the thigh of the animal. An oif doesn't have that, and because an oif doesn't have that, it's just physically excluded from the halacha of Gid Hanasha. Frank the Gemara, really? An oif doesn't have it? But if you look at a bird, you'll see there is flesh around its yerech. So the Gemara says, is slave alayogal? It has it, but it's not round enough for it to be considered kaf. You have to know exactly what kaf is. The point is that what the oif has is not considered kaf. What if an oif has it and it is rounded? Or is slave the behemoth alayogal? Or
an oif does not have it. My baser didei as lina baser mina as lina. Do you say that being that behemoths usually have a calf, therefore there's always an issa gedanasha with a calf, even though punk you found a behemoth that doesn't have it, but at the end of the day it's the min of behemoth and chaya that have the halach of gedanasha? No, you go baser didei. You look at each individual animal and you ask yourself, does it have it or not have it? And if that's the case, you might have a behemoth and a chaya that doesn't have a calf, thus you won't have the halach of gedanasha. You might have an oif that does have a calf, thus you will have the halach of gedanasha. The Gemara says teiku. The Noyeg Mishnah. The Mishnah said that the halacha of Gidanasha applies to a shlil. Rabbi Yehuda said, Einoy Noyeg Vishlil. And then the Mishnah said, V'chelboy Motor. So really two halachas. Number one, Machloikis, Tanakama, who we'll see in the Gemara is Rameir, Stamish is Rameir, and Rabbi Yehuda, whether the halachas of Gidanasha relate to a shlil. Shlil is a fetus. Hacha v'mayaskina, where somebody shechted an animal, and there was a ben pakua, there was a live, full-term animal inside. Does that animal, that fetus, have the iser of gidan asher? Meaning, is it asher to eat the gidan asher of that animal or not? The Tanakhama says, "V'noyeg b'shlil." There is an iser. You're not allowed to eat the gidan asher, even of a shlil, even of a ben pakur. But Yehuda says, "No." Then the Mishnah says, "V'chelboy mutter," that the chelev of this shlil is going to be a mutter. Says the Gemara. On that note, Amar Shmuel said, "V'chelboy mutter l'divrei hakol." It's not mutter only according to Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, but rather it's mutter l'divrei hakol. So the Gemara says demai. When Shmuel said chel by mutter, what was he referring to? Ilei the shlil. Did he mean the chelav of the shlil? Which at first glance it sounds like is what the Mishnah is saying. But what's the Mishnah saying? The noyeg b'shlil, noyeg what? Gidanosh is noyeg b'shlil. Rabbi Yehuda imer ainu noyeg b'shlil. The gidanosh is not noyeg b'shlil. The chel by of the shlil is mutter. Meaning it sounds like everybody agrees that, even though there's a shiloh, what about the gidanosh of the shlil? But as it relates to the chelav of the shlil, doesn't seem to be any shiloh at all. But the Gemara said it can't be. It's not true. Even though that sounds like the case when you read the Mishnah, and it certainly sounds like what Shmuel was saying. I mean, you have the Mishnah that seems to be saying that, and now Shmuel said it, so for sure that's what it means, right? But the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Because on Miflik, Ligi, Batayim, Tanya, we learned to the Rice, Noyeg, Shlil, Vechel, Bay, Osti, Rameir. Rameir says it's a Mr. Gedanosha when it comes to the Shul, and it's a Mr. Chela when it comes to the Shul. Rabbi Yudam, Rabbi Yudam says, Ene, Noyeg, Vechel, 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 you don't have Gedanosha by the Shul, you don't have a Mr. Chela by the Shul either. Vamra, Belozam, Rabbi Ishiya, Machleg, Vendakua, Ventisha, Chai, that Machleg's Rameir, and Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, and the Machleis Rabbi Yehuda in the Brayis is referring to a Ben Pekur. Valach Ramei L'shitasai, Rabbi Yehuda L'shitasai. Who's Ramei L'shitasai, Rabbi L'shitasai, in Perek Beimah Makasha? Ramei holds you need Shechita on a Ben Pekur. So being that you need Shechita, it's a regular animal. If it's a regular animal, then there's an Issa Chelev, there's an Issa Gedanasha. Rabbi Yehuda is the Chachamim of Perek Beimah Makasha that holds you don't have to Shech the Ben Pekur. A Ben Pekur becomes mutter with the Shechita of its mother. So if it doesn't need its own Shechita, we don't look at it as an animal unto itself. Remember the Rambam, Ubi Yerechimai, why there's no Isra of Isra of Esmenoi, Le Sishchit Ubi Yemecha. So all that rate, but we look at it as just Yerechimai. So if we don't look at it as an animal for itself, it doesn't have an Isra Gidanasha, it doesn't have an Isra Chelev. But the point is that when Shmuel said, Chel by Mutti, couldn't have meant Chel by Mutti, Le Divri Akol, Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda, because it's a Mefurish of Braisa, that according to Rameya, that holds as an Issa Gidanosha by a Ben Pekur, there's also an Issa Chel. So what did the Mishnah mean when it said V'chel by Mutter? V'chel by Mutter was all in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm in a Noeg B'shul V'chel by Mutter. But Rameya that holds that there's an Issa Gidanosha with the Shlul would hold, the Chelav is going to be Aser as well. So the Gemara says, V'elo Chel by the Gid. Maybe what he meant was something else. He didn't mean the Chelav as in the Chalavim of every animal that we know is Aser, where if it'd be a behemoth's kachim, it would go on the mizbech. But he means the fats of the gidanasha itself. So around the gidanasha, there are certain fats. And perhaps what he meant to say was that everybody agrees that those fats are mutter. But the Gemara says, it can't be Shmuel said that either. Because a miflik ligibah, that's also machloikis. Oh, and by the way, it's machloikis Ramei Rabbi Yehuda as well. The Tanya, we learned in the Braiso, gidanasha mechateit acharav, that when it comes to the gidanasha, so you have to remove the gid. So the gid, of course, is the sciatic nerve, but it's not enough to just remove the part of the nerve that's exposed. But rather, what you need to do is you have to dig. You have to go, you have to be mechatet acharav. You have to make sure that you dig in and take out even the part of the gid that's embedded, it's enmeshed, together with the meat. That's Divrei Rameir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi the Chaytach Sham the Meikar. Sorry, you have to remove the fats as well. Rabbi Yehuda says, Gavim Maya Mashayfi. No, you just have to level off. You just have to take the part of the sciatic nerve that's not inside the meat. You just have to take the top of it. Additionally, you don't have to remove any of the fats. What do you see from here? You see there's a machlokes remain Rabbi Yehuda whether you have to remove the fats of the Gidan Asha. You don't have to remove the fats. Rabbi Meir said clearly, mechateit acherav. Number one, you have to remove the entire Gid. And number two, v'choytech shamnoi meikari. You have to get all the fat out. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said, Gavim ha-shoyfe. He's more lenient. But Rabbi Meir is machmer. So how could Shmuel say that chelboi mutter l'divrei hakol? Everybody holds the chelov as mutter. We're not sure what he means. Now maybe he means the chelov of the Gidan Asha. It's not true. Not everybody holds the chelov of the Gidan Asha as mutter. Rabbi Meir says clearly in a braisa that the chelov of the Gidan Asha is asa. So the Gemara says, l'ilim chelboi the Gid. Maybe really what Shmuel was referring to was the chelov of the Gid. Shmuel, the Rabbi Meir, the Rabbanan asa. Shmuel, when he said everybody holds the chelov as mutter, he meant on the doraisa level, on the biblical level. Everybody holds as mutter. I didn't Rav Meir say mefurish mechatet acharav b'chol mokim shahu v'chotech shamnoi meikare. Yeah, Shmuel's mind that the Rav Meir holds it's awesome in the Rabbanon, but that's only on a Rabbanon level. Shmuel was saying chelbei mutter l'kuliyama on the doraisa level. Time went to the doraisa, the shamnoi mutter, the shemen, the fat of the Gidanosh is mutter, the Yisrael Kedoshim Nagu Bayeser. Says the Gemara, my love, Rameh, doesn't sound like this is Rav Meir. I mean, who's the one that holds its osir? It's Rav Meir that holds its osir. And Rav Meir said mefurish that really it's mutter. It's just Yisrael Kedoshim that are Nagu Bayeser. So that's what Shmuel meant. Everything, we can reconcile everything. Shmuel that said everybody holds the chelev as mutter was referring to the chelev, the fats, the chalovim of the Gidanosh. Everybody holds midday rice, so it's mutter. The fact that you have a Rav Meir and a Braiser that says it's osir only midday Rabbanon. Shmuel was discussing day rice. So the Braiser is talking about Midrabanan. And by the way, it seems that way because we have a Mefurish Abraisa. We have a Tana who says that the fat is Aser, but says clearly it's only Aser Midrabanan. Yisrael Kedoshim, Nagu Bayisr, but really Shamnoi Mutter. You see Mefurish, this idea. Pasha, it seems to be a Mefurish Abraisa. But the Gemara says to me, how do you know that? Dumu Rabbi Yehuda. How do you know that that price is going according to Rabbi Meir? Maybe that price is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Avla Rabbi Meir Midrabanan and Ami Aser. Maybe really Rabbi Meir holds that the fat of the Gidan Asha is Aser, even Midday Raisa. This Raisa, where you have an opinion, or a Tana who says that the fat is Aser Midrabanan, maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda who said it's Mutter in the first Raisa was referring to on the Day Raisa level. This Raisa, when he says it's Aser, he means it's Aser Midrabanan, but the point is not everybody holds it's Mutter Midday Raisa. Because Rav Meir holds it's Aser Midday Raisa. So again, what then did Shmuel mean when he said everybody holds the Chelev as Mutter? But the Gemara says, no, Leisol Gedaita. Can't be what you just said. You can't say that that price is Rav Yehuda. That price has to be Rav Meir. Time we learned in another price. V'shamnoi Mutter. Interesting. So here you have a little bit of Rav Meir, a little bit of Rav Yehuda. The price says, how do you remove the Gidan Asha? So number one, you have to remove the entire Gid. And then it says that the fat is Mutter. Now, man, Shamalei is the Chatito. Who's the one that says you have to remove the entire Gid? Rav Meir. And Vikama Shamalei Mutter. And it says that the Shaman is Mutter. What do you mean the Shaman is Mutter? I thought the Shaman is Aser. Oh, the Teretz is that this Rav Meir must be again on the Dairaisa level. On the Dairaisa level, you have to remove the entire Gid. But at the same time, the fat is going to be Mutter. The other Braisa of Rav Meir, where Rav Meir said Shamalei Aser, was referring to the Rabbanan. Like the third braisa, Shamlei Mutter v'Yisrael Kedoshim Nagu b'Yisr. The bottom line is, the Gemara says that when Shmuel said that L'divri HaKol Chel by Mutter, he wasn't referring to the Mishnah, the Chelev of a fetus, of a Ben Pekoah. Because whether the Chelev of a fetus is Mutter or Aser is really the Machlekes Remein Rabbi Yehuda. Whether the Gedanash of a fetus is Mutter or Aser. Whether a Ben Pekoah, this fetus requires Shchita or not. Ramei L'shitasa, Rabbi Yehuda L'shitasa. There's two ways to look at a Ben Pekoah. If a Ben Pekoah is Niter Agavimoy, doesn't need Shchita, there's no way to get that nosh, there's no way to chelev. If a ben bekuah is not niter agavimoy, then it requires shchita, there is an issa chelev, and there's going to be an iser gid hanosh as well. What Shmuel was referring to was a halacha in Hilchis gid hanosh, the chelev of the gid hanosh, even though we know there's a machlekes whether the chelev of the gid hanosh is mutter or asa, machlekes remain Rav Yehuda, that's all under the Rabbanon level, Yisrael kedoshim nagu by iser, Rav Meir said. But on the Raisa level, the Rehakol, the chelev is going to be mutter.